This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. At the 2016 Democratic National Convention, Keyser Khan got on stage and held up a copy of the U.S. Constitution. He was there to represent his son, a U.S. Army captain who was killed by a suicide bomber in Iraq. But he was also there to speak up for Muslim Americans who had come under attack with then-candidate Donald Trump's proposed Muslim ban. Keyser Khan has written a book. It is called An American Family, A Memoir of Hope and Sacrifice, and he joins us on the program now. Keyser, welcome to the State of Things.
Well, good to be with you. Thank you.
Take us back to that decision to go on stage and speak out at the Democratic National Convention. Why did you decide to go public with your story?
When DNC had decided to pay tribute to Captain Humayun Khan, we received an invitation several other Gold Star families are being invited when tribute is being paid to their loved one, and would you like to come? And something told me not to immediately accept that invitation. So I told them, could we think about it for a day or two and we will call you back? They gave us the number to call back, and I immediately called our other two sons and asked them that we receive this invitation to go, and they told us, please do not go. You're not that material. You're not. This is not your cup of tea, and you will be maligned, and rightly so, because of the political controversies, and do not go. So we thought maybe they are being too protective of us. We talked to our other well-wishers. Their advice was exactly the same, do not go. This is not what you really want. You are peaceful, modest, humble people. Just stay put. So this was the advice that we received. But on the other hand, what was taking place was, since that bigoted statement, I will ban all Muslims, Hispanics will be thrown out because they are criminals, and women deserve no equal respect, and judges are partial. After that statement, wherever we would go, knowing that I am an attorney, children, their parents would ask, is this so? Could this be done if this candidate becomes president? Is this possible in the United States? And I would hearten the small children, and I would tell them, no, don't worry, this is just a political rhetoric. This just is not going to happen. But they remain worried, and then I would receive the call from parents that in school they are being bullied. These are Muslim children, Hindu children, children of all faiths, different color of their skin, and all they are being bullied in school. So that was taking place in our personal life. And here we are now conflicted, should we go or shouldn't we go? So we sat for 2 days, and then on the second day, and we prayed. We are people of faith, and we prayed, sitting in the room that we have dedicated to Captain Humayun Khan. His picture hangs in that room, and other things that he cherished in his life, those are placed in the cabinets there. So we, Ghazala and I, sat in that room, wishing some guidance from somewhere. But everyone was telling us, do not go. So second day I go to check the mail, and in the mail there is an envelope without any stamp. So somebody must have driven to our home and placed it in the mailbox. Out of curiosity, I opened it immediately. And we tell all these stories in our book, but to answer your question, I opened that card that sent us to the convention, and that has continued to encourage us continue to speak. So that card said this. It was signed. I recognized the name of the middle school because I had spoken to these children in private gatherings and birthday parties. And this is what that card said. Four names and their classes on the card. Written in the middle was a sentence. And that sentence said this, Mr. and Mrs. Khan, would you make sure that Maria is not thrown out of this country? We love her. She's our friend. I read it twice, and I knew that that is the message that we were waiting for. I went and took that card to Ghazala, showed it to her. here is the message. Now what you say? And she said, we will go. I immediately called DNC and told them that we will be coming. And they told us, you will have 2 minutes to say whatever you wish to say. And the rest is history. So it is our children that sent us there, and they're the one that are keeping us going.
You did receive backlash. The president lashed out at you. His supporters did as well. And clearly you were prepared for it. People were warning you not to go for that very reason. But when you actually received all of that and found yourself on the receiving end of that, what was that like for you? Were you actually prepared for the kinds of criticisms you got?
No, we were not prepared, even though we were warned, but we were not prepared. We were thinking that it will not be taken so seriously, and it will be just an ordinary citizen's remarks at such a moment, and then it will be just part of the political history. But that wasn't meant to be. It became an expression of the greatness of this nation. Really, this story has developed into the goodness of America on one side and the divisiveness, un-American divisiveness on the other side.
And in your new book, in fact, you talk about that. You talk about your own upbringing in Pakistan and your love for the United States. Tell us more about that and sort of how you developed your love for the American Constitution.
I was in second year of law school in Pakistan, and I had lived under two martial laws, under two authoritarian dictators that did not like the media or the press. I have seen with my own eyes newspaper, printer, printing stations, printing places, printing presses being burnt. Newspaper writers were maligned and placed in jails, and some were shot. And also, I grew up with that type of deprived dignity kind of environment where you are subject to whims and wishes of a dictator, of a ruler. And so when I took that course in law school, the title was A Comparative Study of World Constitution. Four constitutions were part of it. U.S. Constitution was one of them. And I got the materials to read, and the very first page was Declaration of Independence. I said, wait a minute. Who are these people that declare their independence? I also come from the colonized history, where when the dictator, when the ruler, when your king feels mercy that now they cannot extract anything more from you, they give you independence, you gain independence. But these people, who are these people that are declaring their independence? What a powerful way to dignify themselves. And I, at that time, I did not have the courage or mental capability or caliber to think that I could even go to this land. I just remained in awe of all three parts of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of our Constitution, and then Bill of Rights, where I remain in awe that it is that has made this nation beacon of hope for the rest of the world.
Go ahead, finish that thought, yes.
My love affair with these founding documents has started in 1972.
Well, you've spoken out recently, even since your appearance at the DNC, about President Trump's call to the widow of a Green Beret who died in Niger. You obviously lost a son. You've been criticized by the president. How did you feel about that call?
I was heartbroken. These were my four brave sons, hero sons that died protecting us, defending us in under very difficult circumstances in Africa. I called them my son out of affection. All are serving in our military, in our armed forces, are my sons and daughters. But anyway, in this case, this moment that should have been dealt with utmost dignity and respect towards families and towards the sacrifice of these four heroes, and especially Sergeant LaDavid Johnson and his family, that courtesy was not granted. That dignity and privacy was not extended. That moment was exploited for political expediency. It broke my heart to see the White House, the incompetency of the White House at full display at that moment. Somebody should have had the guts and the courage to say to the White House, no, no, this is not the time to exploit this for political expediency purpose, but that wasn't done. It was very disappointing. These people that work in the White House are on people's payroll. We pay their salaries. We will not allow this kind of incompetency on display to disrespect. There are other moments to exploit. There are other moments for political expediency and making points and pushing your agenda forward, but not a moment of grief of a family or four families in this manner. That was just so disappointing.
Khizr Khan is a Gold Star father. His son earned the Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for his sacrifice in Iraq. His latest book is An American Family, a memoir of hope and sacrifice. Khizr Khan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Khizr Khan will be this evening at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh, that conversation hosted by Quail Ridge Books, and I will be there moderating that conversation as well. Just ahead, the power of artistic expression from military veterans. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.